90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Some spine tingling? How about a little comedy? Or maybe a gripping drama from the dawn of the Pendergast era?
Welcome to Couchdown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. We're back again this week. We had a few technical difficulties last week, but we've got our guest here, the League of Women Voters. We have Sandy Eads and Pat Goodwin. Are you both here?
Yes, we are.
Thank you so much, and we're going to try this again. We're going to get it. We've got technical expertise this week, so I think we're going to get it right this week. So, Sandy, can you tell, you're the president of the League of Women Voters. Can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself and how long you've been a member of the League of Women Voters?
Joseph, I joined the League after I retired at the end of 2013. I was interested in getting people to vote, and as important as that is registering people to vote and educating people to vote. And I called up somebody that I thought would give me good advice, and she said, well, why don't you join the League? And I did. So I've been in the League about 5 or 6 years, and fairly active in all parts of it. I spent a lot of time helping one of our other guests here, Pat, on Vote 411, which is daunting to say the least, but it's been fun. So after a while on the board, I then became president, and I will be so until May of 2021.
And Ms. Pat Goodwin, can you briefly tell us just a little bit about yourself and how long have you been a member of the League of Women Voters?
Well, I joined in, I think it was January of 2015, and I just went to a meeting. It kind of got on my radar, so I knew there was a meeting coming up, and I showed up, and the rest is history. It was a good fit because of its nonpartisan nature, and but also its respect for understanding issues and studying issues, and not just making knee-jerk reaction to one thing or another that might occur in the news. So it was it's a good organization, and we're doing a lot of very important work.
And I want to give this disclaimer. The information we're going to discuss today about the ballot for Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County, this discussion was to inform and educate the public about the ballot and matters on the ballot. We will not make any endorsements or recommendations about which candidates you should vote for. All we ask is, most importantly, that you exercise the right to vote and that your voice is heard. So, Sandy, can you tell us a little bit about the League of Women Voters organization? Are you there, Sandy? Okay. Well,
sorry, I have landscapers outside my house here. And can you hear them?
I can briefly hear them. You're fine.
All right. The League and women's suffrage got kicked off 100 years ago. So this year we're celebrating our centenary. And we've gotten to be able to do a little bit of that celebration despite the pandemic. But the League was founded on the heels of women's suffrage, which was a decades-long process to get women the vote in 1920. So it's been quite a long haul. But the League has always stood for educating voters and being nonpartisan in their approach to elections. Their main thrust is to ensure that democracy works. Our current motto is defending democracy and empowering voters. And really, that's been the theme throughout. So the league has grown quite a bit over the years. We've seen growth here in Kansas City, and Johnson County has seen the same. I think a lot of people are very interested in becoming engaged in the voting process and the education of voters and really trying to understand more about how government works.
So we're going to break this down today in a couple of different things: getting registered, know the issues, decide how you plan to vote, and then make your voice heard. So can you tell us, Sandy, let me go back. Pat, he kind of told us about the organization. Is the purpose of the League of Women Voters just a little bit different? And also, can men join it? We've got a men. When did you all accept men into the League of Women Voters?
1974. So we've had generations of men as league members. And I'm sorry, what was your other question?
And I was saying, is the purpose of the League of Women Voters, I know when it was founded, but what is the true purpose? Just to educate people, as Sandy was saying.
As far as
the purpose of the league.
When the league was founded after the 19th Amendment was finally ratified, the women who had worked for suffrage knew that you couldn't, that it was important for women who had just gotten the franchise to not just go to the polls and not know who to vote for or why they were voting. And so educating new voters and all voters became the one of the driving forces of the early League of Women Voters, and that remains a top priority to this day. The league also, though, although we're nonpartisan, we never support a party, we never support or oppose a candidate. We do take positions, but only after the policy has been studied thoroughly and a consensus of the members has been reached. If we have a policy or if we have a position that relates to a policy that is coming up for a vote, we will either support or oppose a ballot question.
Okay. So as I was saying, this week with the League of Women Voters, we're going to specify on Kansas City and the Jackson County Election Board. And the difference in between the two is that the Kansas City Election Board covers all those who live in Kansas City, and the Jackson County Election Board covers anyone who lives in Jackson County but outside of Kansas City. So you'd be looking at Grandview, Blue Springs, Independence, Raytown, Lee Summit, and Eastern Jackson County. But before we get started, you can't vote if you're not registered. Sandy, is it too late for people to register to vote for the general election?
No, it is not. They have up until about early afternoon of October 7th. If they're that late, they probably ought to be doing it down at the election board. But no, we've got the rest of this week to do it. And we certainly encourage people to do it sooner than later. It takes about 7 to 10 days for that to be processed. But they will be registered in time to vote in the election. They cannot vote on the same day as they register. You know. So it will take a few days for that to make its way through the system.
And if you live in Kansas, you have until October the 13th. As Sandy was saying, the deadline is October 7th at 5 p.m. And if you have not registered at this point in time, I probably wouldn't trust the mail. I would probably go down to Union Station there on Level B and register to vote. So, Sandy, how do people get registered to vote?
Well, it's simply a matter of taking some form of identification and filling out. You can do it by postcard, but as you just said, mailing those in is a thing I wouldn't want to risk at this late date. You can do it by postcard and drop it off, or you can do it by affidavit. And at that point, you are registered. It just needs to be processed through KCEB. So it's a matter of attesting to the fact that you're 18, that you're a U.S. citizen, and then you fill in your name and address and phone number and so forth, and it's really pretty simple.
So, Pat, will the League of Women Voters have any voter information forms or programs to educate voters?
For every election, the league does hold forums. There is one scheduled for next, the 6th. What is that, Tuesday night?
That should be Tuesday night.
Yeah. So we do have one forum. I think it's for races in the, isn't it in like Eastern Jackson County, Sandy, the Grandview area? We also have, and this is what Sandy alluded to earlier, we have a voter guide. And for general elections, every 2 years, we have an online voter guide. We have that for every election, but we also print a voter guide. So we, our online voter guide, vote411.org, is, we did activate it a little bit early. So if people want to go to vote411.org/ballot, they can see what will be on their ballot when they go to the polls, whether that's on November 3rd or whether people have chosen to vote early.
So you were saying, Pat, the League of Women Voters provides that guidebook in a printed format. So is that something that they mail out or people can pick up from a location around town? How would they get one if they wanted it in a printed format?
If you want a printed voter guide, they'll be available after October 12th. We're just now downloading all the candidate and race information from vote411.org and formatting it for the printer. They'll be at libraries, community centers, YMCAs. Many churches will have them. Businesses might have them. A lot of our members will go kind of door to door with guides and see if a grocery store or another business in their community and neighborhood would like to have some voter guides for people.
I have to say the nation got the sad occurrence to see the first debate between the candidates Tuesday night, and it was the talk of the all of Tuesday night and on Facebook and with friends of mine. I mean, I only lasted about 20 minutes because you couldn't hear anybody. And some stats that came out this morning that the president interrupted the moderator and the vice president 128 times. And it was such chaos and chaotic that the next debate that they have, the debate commission said they will make changes, including the possibility of having the ability to turn off a candidate's microphone. So I know that's going to be interesting. But the next debate we're going to have in that particular aspect is going to be the vice presidential debate, which is actually going to be October 7th, which is going to be next week. So that's going to be an interesting situation. So I know for those of us who turned in and watched it, we hope the next debate is a lot more organized, a lot more structured, and that the candidates will be able to sit and say what they plan to really truly do for the nation and the people who are right now not only suffering through a pandemic, but we're having mass incidents around the nations of people being shot and people being assaulted. So as we...
Can I interject something?
Sure.
Sandy and I are old enough to remember 1976, when the League of Women Voters sponsored the presidential debates. And they did that until 1984. And it was after that the Commission on Presidential Debates formed, and the League chose at that point not to continue. But the League won an Emmy for how they conducted presidential debates. So I was reminded of that, too, as I learned more and more about the debate on Tuesday.
I think that it was not possible to win an Emmy right now for anyone. I think Chris Wallace deserved hazardous duty pay. But, Joe, to your point, I got about 20 minutes through it and gave up. We had a board meeting yesterday. We had about a dozen people on the call. And I asked at the beginning, a show of hands, how many people made it all the way through. And I think three or four out of the dozen made it all the way through. The disappointment is right at the core of what the League would like to see, which is a good, simple, straightforward airing of the candidates' views. That's all anybody wants. Give them a chance to get more information. You know, what we know in the League, and everybody knows who tries to disseminate information, is people get their information in different forms, in different ways. Maybe they read, maybe they see it, maybe they need to hear it. But every time you take away an opportunity for the voters to get a good, clear understanding of how each candidate responds to the issues and what their views are, then we believe democracy suffers. So the idea that they may even cancel the debates, to me, is giving up way too soon. It's really important that these things get conducted in a way that each candidate gets his voice heard, and that there's a chance for voters to continue to form their opinions. We realize most people have made up their minds, but there are still, I would argue, millions of people who have not. And I think that the minute we give up on the ability for people to understand the candidates and how they intend to govern, we're losing just another important part of our civic and democratic process.
I think I was talking to somebody this morning, and he had a great idea. He said we need to have two soundproof booths on stage, and that they need to be able to go in, and they can't hear what the other candidate is saying. And they're during that time, they can hear, but their mic is dead. They can't say anything and tell us their time to rebut. And I think that would be the best way we're going to improve it, because as long as we've got two people sitting on stage and one can hear what the other one said and their mic is live, somebody's going to chime in to try to get the barb, the jab, whatever. And it deprives the millions of American voters of the ability to see the difference in between the two candidates and how they truly would impact the country, guiding it through this pandemic. But also for the millions of people who are out of work, unemployed, struggling to make ends meet, worried about where their next meal is going to come from, and if they're going to be evicted out of their house after the eviction mandate ends. Those are things that people are caring about right now, because we as Americans are all suffering.
Everybody is interested in security, and that and security today means exactly those issues you mentioned, Joseph. People are desperately concerned about the future. And so that's really what this election's about, the future. And people need to understand which way to turn.
So, Pat, one of the things, I went down and voted last week, and a lot of people may not know that there are judges on the ballot. And, I mean, we know who may vote for president. We've seen all the literature. We know who we may vote for governor, you know, secretary of state, for our congressmen, for our state representatives. But does the 411 organization, 411 ballot, also have information on the judges who are on the ballot to give people that information?
We do. And let me backtrack just a little. What Vote 411 provides is candidate information from the candidate. We contact every candidate trying to get an email address so that we can solicit this information. But we heard from 78 of the 100 candidates who will be on the ballots here locally. And so that all that information from them is on vote411.org in their own words. Now, getting to the judges, yes, there are judges on the ballot. They are up for retention. They're already on the bench. They're on the Supreme Court, the Western District Court of Appeals, or the 16th, 6th, or 7th Judicial Circuits. And what we do for the judges, we do not contact them. But there's a website called yourmissourijudges.org. It's run by the Missouri Bar Association. And they provide background information. They have surveyed judges and lawyers on each of the judges who is up for retention. They provide sample opinions. They take some of the opinions they have written and have links to those opinions. And so we have linked to that page for each judge. So if you're looking at a judge, if you're in Jackson County in the 16th Judicial Circuit, and you want to know if you want to retain this judge or not, you can click on the link and find out kind of do the other judges like him or not, and do the lawyers who have been in his court or her court like him or not, and why. And so it's a wonderful resource that the Bar Association provides.
We've got a caller on line one. Caller, can you tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from and what your question or comment is?
Yes, good morning. Rick Schaefer from Independence, Missouri. I have just a couple brief comments, and I can take your response off the air. To be clear on the presidential debates, the Presidential Debate Commission was established by corporations under the agreement of both political parties, and they agreed to steal it, quote, steal it from the League of Women Voters so they can control the debates. An example, a simple example of how it's controlled, is both political parties can now block out any third-party candidate. They did so with, I can't name his name, but they did so with Bernie Sanders, and they did so with Jill Klein. Jill Klein had to run her debate on the steps of the Coliseum where they were indoors holding the debates. So this is a deliberate coup by corporations to control yet just another aspect of the people's government and the people's privilege to manage their government as well. Ralph Nader was the first person they blocked out. He was a third-party candidate. And what's so disgusting about this is that both political parties agreed to this deliberately. They created it. So my purpose here is that we are never going to have free and fair elections in this country until we get corporations and corporate money out of politics. And the only way to do that is to only vote for candidates that will not take corporate money. Now, the exception is this election things are so bad and so horrible that we have to vote for the less of the two evils. And if you're an independent thinker, that, of course, is to vote for Biden. It's not the will of anyone that I talk to, but we are a fortunate situation to have to vote for the least evil of the two that will utterly betray the people to corporate America.
Thank you so much for those comments, Rich.
Thank you.
So as we get into the next portion there, Sandy, when it comes to voting during the pandemic, we have multiple options. You've got the mail-in option, absentee voting in person, and then taking your ballot back, and then in person on November the 3rd. So as we talk about the mail-in option, Sandy, how do people request a ballot for the general election in November 3rd?
Well, they can do that through the Secretary of State's office, you can go directly to the Secretary of State's website to request that. You can also go to the League of Women Voters site here in Kansas City, and anybody in any one of the counties can do that, and it's accessible to the public. If you go to lwvkc.org, on the front page, down scroll down, you can find all kinds of resources about getting a request for the mail-in ballots and all of the rest of the information you'll need to vote.
So you can also go to kceb.org, which is Kansas City Board of Elections, and you can also go to the Jackson County Board of Elections website, which is jcebmo.org, and download that mail-in application. So the first step, Sandy, is in getting, we know the issues, we've got 411, we're registered to vote, now we're getting our ballot. What is the deadline to request a mail-in ballot for the November 3rd election?
I don't know the answer to that, Joe.
Well, I do have it. I've got the form right in front of me from the election. October 21st at 5 p.m. is the deadline to request a mail-in ballot by mail for the November 3rd election. And it says mail-in ballots may be also requested in person. But I'm going to say this, folks. I was there last week voting. I was in and out the door in 10 minutes. They had stylists. So everything was touch-free. Everybody there wore masks. They were using social distancing. They had hand sanitizer. You know, like I said, I walked in the door about 8:10 and I was out the door by 8:20, and it was an exceptional experience. I have to give kudos to the Kansas City Election Board for what they did. And, you know, they had somebody coming in, and as soon as somebody touched the screen, as soon as you finished with the screen with your stylus, they were coming in and cleaning the screens. And there were a lot of seniors there. So if somebody may have immunocompromised or reason why they really need to vote absentee, or if you just want to make sure that your vote counts, then, you know, going to the Kansas City Election Board, it's in the Innovation Center on the ground floor on the side by the IRS and escape room. And not only that, folks, they will validate your parking. So you park in the garage, you walk in the door maybe 300 feet around the corner, you cast your ballot, you put your ballot in the machine, and you see your vote counted. And that was what was, there's been a lot with the postmaster and the voting machines, and I was disheartened to find out that they said they were moving the machines around from place to place where mail needs to be. And I was disheartened to find out the machines were scrapped and gutted and put in a scrap pile. These are high-speed sorting machines that can sort 36,000 pieces of mail per minute that are now, they were paid for by government tax, our tax dollars, and that they were now scrapped so they could essentially slow down the mail. So we have to understand this. In order for your vote to count, it has to be received by on election day by 7 p.m. So if you have the option, you can request a mail-in ballot now from your local election authority. But if you've got the time, go down. They open from 8 to 5 in Jackson County. And also they do the same thing in Jackson County, meaning in Kansas City from 8 to 5. Jackson County Election Board is from 8:30 to 5 p.m. And they're located at 110 North Liberty. And then they're also going to do Saturday, starting October the 10th, from 8:30 to noon. So it's going to be October 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. They will do Saturday voting. And Kansas City Election Board will do Saturday. They will do voting on Saturday, the Saturday before the election, which is October 31st, from 8 to noon. It was safe. Everybody wore a mask, and it was, like I said, I was in and out the door in less time, because they say if you go to a place and you spend more than 15 minutes, they got to take your name. I wasn't even in there 15 minutes long enough for them to have to take my name. So if you've got the ability, you know, you, your friends can definitely go out and do that. They take the health and safety of the election workers very seriously. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, I just wanted to mention, not everybody can vote in person early. You need to qualify for an absentee ballot. I do this year because I'm over 65. Sandy does because he's going to be working the polls on election day. If you're confined, and there are a variety of reasons. If you're out of town, you qualify to vote absentee. This year, the legislature and the governor signed a bill so that people who are at risk for complications from COVID-19 can vote absentee, either in person or by mail. Everybody can vote by mail this year, but it has to be by mail. So if I was 35 years old and I wanted to not go to the polls on November 3rd because I did not want to expose myself to a virus, then I can vote by mail, but I have to have it notarized, and I have to send it in by mail. I can't deliver it in person. So it's a little complicated. We try to simplify it on our website in the absentee voting page. I think we all need to know what we qualify to do. But everybody can vote by mail for this election. And some people need to have it notarized.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back on the flip side, I have the request for absentee or mail-in ballot application here. We're going to go over that as Pat was saying, so you're listening to 90.1 FM. This is KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And our guests today are a representative of the League of Women Voters Missouri chapter, Sandy Eads, who's the president, and Pat Goodwin. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break. And we're back. And we're back. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today, our guests are representative of the Missouri League of Women Voters, Mr. Sandy Eads, who's the president, and Ms. Pat Goodwin, who has been a member for, she said, since 2015. So, and we're talking about voting during the pandemic. As we closed out, Pat was given the reasons about absentee voting, and I have the I printed off this morning, Kansas City Board of Elections request for Missouri absentee or mail-in ballot general election, November the 3rd, 2020. And it's available at kceb.org. And you start with the voter's name, identification purposes, which is the date of birth, the last four of the Social Security, registered voting address, city, zip code, telephone number, email address, address to which ballots to be mailed. If different from above, you can do that. And then it says absentee ballot request, select one reason. Ballot envelope will need to be notarized unless specifically noted below. If selecting this option, then this form may be returned in person or by mail or by email or fax. Hold on 1 second. We've got a caller. KKFI. Okay, well, hold on. Let me put you on there. You can ask your question. Hold on 1 second. We're getting a caller in here. So as we, go ahead, caller. Can you tell us what part of town you're calling from and what your question or comment is?
I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, north of the river.
Okay. And your name? Just the first name.
Oh, Simple.
Okay. Okay. And what's your question or comment?
I was just thinking that the topic of the conversation, I love the information that's being shared with the public, but as an American citizen, I'm curious as to why we can't trust our post office, especially with this greatest American president ever.
Well, I will say this, the high-speed sorting machines that sort the high-speed mail for the post office have been dismantled and turned around, and including some of those in Missouri. So that has essentially slowed down the mail a whole lot.
Excellent. I understand that part. I love your conversation, but it's how do we let them get it to this? You know, if this is supposed to be,
Well, the best way I can say is that it got this way because of, you know, things that happen in our nation. So we, you know, and the thing that we can do is people can make decisions about the nation going forward. You know, your vote is your voice, and your vote is, that ballot is the way in which you make that decision and that choice. So it's, you know, you have to look at it for yourself where you see the country going and the candidates that you may have before you and which is the best choice or which candidate best suits your views and how you would like to see the nation go forward.
I appreciate that. But with our leader in chief, we can't trust our postal service, which is a basic American service. I'm going to listen to any further comment out there. Thank you for your time.
So, as we were saying, the application, it has to be. Ballot envelope will be to be notarized unless specifically noted below. If selecting this option, this form may be returned in person, by mail, email, or fax. Absence on election day from the jurisdiction of the election authority, which means if you're out of town, if you're incapacity or confinement due to illness or physical disability, including caring for a person who is incapacitated or confined due to illness or disability, no notary required for this ballot envelope. If it's your religious belief or practice, no notice. Doesn't say anything about notary employment. If you work as an election authority, as you're going to do, Sandy, then you're going to be at a location other than your polling place, and you can vote absentee. If you're incarcerated and have maintained all the necessary qualifications for voting, then you can vote absentee. Then those who are entitled to the Safe at Home program due to threats of domestic violence, they can vote absentee. And in this one that they've added this year, number 7, I have contracted or I'm at risk category for contracting or transmitting severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, COVID-19. No notary required for ballot envelope. And that's what I'm seeing. That I'm reading that directive in red. At-risk voters are those who are 65 or older, have serious heart conditions, are immunocompromised, have liver disease, live in a long-term care facility, have chronic lung disease or asthma, have diabetes, have chronic kidney disease, or undergoing dialysis. So that's kind of the rundown on the application that you can download from the election board. So...
And at the bottom of that form, there's a place where a person can say, I want a mail-in ballot. And you don't need to have any reason for that, but that's the one that you do need to have notarized for sure, and you need to return by mail. It has to be mail.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. It says mail-in ballot requests. All mail-in ballot envelopes must be notarized. If selecting this option, this form must be delivered to your local election authority in person or by mail only. Any registered voter can request a mail-in ballot. And then there's a thing that says, I do solemnly swear that all statements made on this application are true to the best of my knowledge and belief. And then you have to sign it as a registered voter or for the person who is acting on behalf of that voter. So we kind of answered that next question that I was going to ask you, Sandy. Do mail-in ballots have to be notarized? So we have that particular question. And I know one of the things... Kurt, who's a longtime listener, emailed me last week saying that people can use MoVote.org to request a mail-in ballot application. So we've kind of discussed MoVote.org, the League of Women Voters website, Jackson County Election Board website, and also Kansas City Election Board website. And we've kind of went over when that deadline to request it, which is going to be October the 21st at 5 p.m., and for those that are going to mail it back, the post office is requesting that you put it in the mail at least 2 weeks prior to ensure that your vote does make it there on time and that your vote is counted. So, Sandy, do you have any thoughts on having to, getting that absentee ballot envelope notarized can be difficult? Is the league working with some organizations to help people get their ballots notarized?
Absolutely. In fact, I'll refer people back to our page on our website, which again is lwvkc.org. And on that page, we've got a category called Find a Notary, and there are numbers of places you can do that. We have league members who are notaries, and we have a number of organizations, and you'll find email addresses and ways of contacting all of these notary resources that we have. So, again, we've gone to a good deal of trouble to make sure that people have access to notaries. There are a lot of organizations around town. I think if you Googled notaries in Kansas City for the election, you would get quite a few resources.
Sandy, will there be any fee charged for these notary services, or will they be free?
I think at the beginning there was some concern that fees would be charged if you did it at a bank, for example, and were not a customer. I think you'll find that most locations are doing this without a fee.
And you just mentioned a great point that most banks, I bank at a local credit union, and I can go in and get, because I'm a member, I can go in and get anything notarized for free. I just have to have my ID. So that's a great way that if you can't make it by one of those organizations, but you can also always swing by your bank, and you can actually do that from you can go inside, or you can do it from the drive-thru with your car, sending that document in with your ID and getting it notarized that way if you're concerned, so you don't have to worry about, coming into contact with anybody. But I know some of the Community America locations are open, and you can actually go inside and conduct business and actually get things done that way. So when we discussed the mail-in application, Sandy, what is absentee in-person voting?
Well, that's simply... Bye, Pat.
Bye, thanks.
Absentee in-person voting is the ability to go to the election board and do it there.
And for those that may not know, in-person absentee voting in Kansas City started September 22nd and will go through November 2nd. As we said, the absentee ballot deadline is at October the I'm looking at the sheet. Let me grab the sheet. Is October the 21st, and it has to be back into them by that night of the election. So you definitely want to make sure that you get it in there by 11/3. So that means you may want to request it a little bit earlier and get it in. So, Sandy, have you voted yet? Or since you're going to be a poll worker, have you voted yet? Or what have you decided how you're going to, if you're going to vote in person or you're going to vote absentee, have you did that yet?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier, and I want to emphasize a lot for all voters, and that is have a plan to vote. Do I have a plan to vote? Well, it's down to this. I'll either do an absentee in person at the Kansas City Election Board, or because I'm working at the polls, I can simply vote when the traffic is light. Now, the last couple of elections, there were pauses in the amount of business we were doing. However, on the third, I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of time to get up and vote. So I may go ahead and vote in person at Union Station as an election worker.
And I know one thing that for the primary election, due to COVID, a lot of the polls were closed down, and I got a card in the mail to say my polling location was in another place. So that's something that people also may need to take in account. With you working the elections, well, are you all going to have the same number of polls that you had during a non-COVID election open during the COVID period?
No, they've been greatly reduced. And I can't tell you exactly the number of polls. They may be listed on the Kansas City Board's site. But they've greatly decreased the number of polls, partly out of concern for some of the locations that they're too small, or that they have some concerns about just attracting a lot of voters into their facilities. So the election board has spent a good deal of time and resource getting school gymnasiums. I know that the chiefs are going to offer this, and finding rooms that are large enough to give all the social distancing necessary. The last two elections, the June election and the August election, I worked. And in both cases, we were housed in large lobbies or in a high school gymnasium, and that was very satisfactory in terms of having enough room for distancing and so forth. So it's really been a matter of finding the right size spaces around town.
And you're exactly right, because I know the location that I went to for the primary, it was held in the gymnasium of Phyllis Wheatley. And usually I vote at Bluford Library, and Bluford Library room was a little small, but the gymnasium was huge, and they had tape on the floor where people could come in every 6 feet and stand. You know, they will have plenty of hand sanitizer. They will have the stylus. We didn't need, you know, there was little, there were shields around and different things. So, and a lot of everything was single use, so it wasn't you were taking something from somebody else after they had voted. So, and as you said, Sandy, you have to have a plan to vote. We've talked about today getting registered, getting informed, now making that plan as whether you're going to vote mail-in, absentee, mail-in, you know, you can vote mail-in a ballot, you can do absentee in person, or you can do another absentee ballot. And what people need to understand is this: if you have a mail-in ballot cannot be taken back to the Jackson County Election Board or Kansas City Election Board. A mail-in ballot must go through the mail. Now, absentee ballot can be, if you vote absentee with a ballot, you can get your ballot, request your ballot, bring it home, fill it out. You can take an absentee ballot back to the election board to ensure that your vote is cast and counted. But you cannot do that if you request a mail-in ballot. That is the big difference in between the two, that you cannot take a mail-in ballot and take it back. So, Sandy, what times will the polls be open on November 3rd for those who want to actually go vote in person, old school?
6 o'clock.
And what time will they close?
7.
So 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., the polls will be open. And as you were saying earlier, some of the places are closed. Is there a place where people can go to check to see where they may be voting, since we're using bigger spaces during this pandemic?
Well, Vote 411 should be able to help you find your polling place. And also the Kansas City Election Board or the various election boards will give you a location. I would mention, too, and I think I've said this before on your program, Joseph, that every poll has ballot marking devices. Now, people think the touchscreen is somehow electronic voting. All that does is allow you to look at your ballot and make your selections, go back if you made a mistake, and then, you know, basically say, yes, I'm ready to vote. And all that machine does is mark a paper ballot. It was specially designed to be used in that machine. So there are two ways we get paper ballots to count. One, by filling them in with a golf pencil, and the other by using the ballot marking device. So there's no connection to the internet. They're totally safe and secure. But here's the thing about the ballot marking device. Every poll will have several of them. You can vote at any poll, anywhere, by using a ballot marking device. As long as you're a registered voter, they'll give you a ticket, and you can go to the ballot marking device, and the person that is staffing that machine will simply scan your ticket, and the ballot where you live will appear.
And
so in that sense, every polling place is available to every voter, no matter where they're registered, as long as they use the ballot marking device.
And you are so correct. That's all they're using it at the Kansas City Election Board in the Innovation Center, where people are voting. You walk in, you stand in line, you pass over your ID, they take a look at it, they pass it back, hand sanitizer, you get a new stylus out of a box, you walk over, a lady, she has a huge stack of those ballot marking devices, she puts one in the machine for you, and then you take your stylus and you touch who you want to vote for. At the end, it says, are you completed? And you say yes. It spits out your ballot with all the decisions that you made. And I think that is a huge change from in the beginning, when these machines were not, it was all electronic on an SD card. So now there's a backup to that when you put it in. And I think that's a great thing, because that was my concern, that, you know, there was a documentary about 10 years ago that showed an individual, he didn't have access to the machine, he had access to the SD card, and he was able to change and do different things with it. So those are, because it's done by algorithm. And so it actually worked out well. Now I can go in and use that machine and know that I'm going to have an opportunity to be able to get what I'm trying to get done and kind of go from there. So as we talk about that, Sandy, there are going to be a few issues on the ballot. Has the league taken a position on the issues on the ballot, such as the tax for 911 for Jackson County?
No, we've not.
So, okay. So the league hasn't taken a position on any of those, but if people want to get information about those, I know like one of them is the, should they remove the statue in front of Andrew Jackson in front of the county and kind of go from there. So it's definitely something that people can get more information about on their own. Can we repeat the websites? I know we're looking at the website for the Kansas City Election Board again and the Jackson County Election Board. Do you have those? Or I can repeat them also. The Kansas City,
go ahead. I don't have those.
Okay. The Kansas City Election Board is kceb.org. Jackson County Election Board is jcebmo.org. And then you all's other information is the vote411.org, correct?
Correct. And then, the league site, lwvkc.org.
And if you go ahead.
I would say, Joseph, on the ballot initiative, the league does have a position on Amendment 3. We were strong supporters of Amendment 1, as were the majority of people in Missouri. And so the league does oppose Amendment number 3 on the ballot.
Okay. So they are in opposition of Amendment number 3 on the ballot. So, and if you need the phone numbers for the election boards, you can call Kansas City Election Board at 816-842-4820 or the Jackson County Election Board at 816-325-4600. As we wrap up, Sandy, there was a huge issue about this in Florida, about felons being able to vote. Is there any rule here? What is the rule here in Missouri if you're a felon? Can you able to vote?
If you're off parole and have the necessary paperwork, everyone is allowed to vote.
Okay. So that is
we encourage voters to follow up on that. We had an event at the Harvesters with the Chiefs and the Royals earlier this week. And I did hear a story of one woman who had thought because she was a felon, had not voted, registered to vote for 5 years, but she'd actually cleared all her paperwork, was off parole. So she was very, very happy to be re-registered to vote.
I want to thank Sandy, who was the president of League of Women Voters, and Pat Goodwin, who was with us earlier, for being our guest today. Next week, we're going to have the League of Women Voters representatives for Kansas, and we're going to be talking about voting in Kansas, specifically Wyandotte County and Johnson County. And Kansas is a little bit more unique than Missouri because they have early voting in Kansas, which means anybody can go in and vote during that time. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Councilman Brennan Nellington, his free food distribution is today at Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church, located at 3634 Brooklyn. The food giveaway will be from 3 to 5 p.m. Metropolitan Church, located on Linwood and Olive, has a food pantry that's open on this Tuesday from 9:30 to 11:30. And reminder, you still have time to register to vote in Missouri until 10:07 and in Kansas until 10:13. Absentee voting is available at Union Station in the Innovations Room from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily for those that are 65 or older and maybe have COVID. You can park in the garage on the west end of the building where it's closest to the Innovation Center. That's the side near the escape room on the lower level. And they will also validate your parking so it doesn't cost you anything. And if you go early in the morning, you get in and get out. You're in there less than 10 minutes. So for Cowtown Conversations, been your host, Joseph Jackson. Join us next week. As I said, our guests will be the League of Women Voters for Kansas. And have a great day. Stay safe and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
Good morning, Kansas City, rise and shine. It's a beautiful day in the Kansas City area. It's going to be a little chilly coming up on the weekend and everything. But whatever you do, stay inside, enjoy the weather with the family and friends. Keep it locked to 90.1 FM. I'll be back in a moment.